Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome you to today's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International, a private security and public law enforcement organization, now in its 16th year, founded in 2004, and we're very happy that you're with us today. We've got a lot of things to talk about, and of course, a lot of breaking news, a lot of things happening on the front line, and we are going to try and cover as much of this as possible, but I know there's a good chance that this is going to kind of spill over into next week, and for the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the coronavirus, about how it's affecting private security, where it's going to lead us to. What's going to happen down the road, not too far from now. And we've got a lot of things to talk about. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder of Private Officer International, Armor College, and a number of other businesses. Today, we're going to be talking about the number of confirmed security officers that have died from complications of the COVID-19 virus. We're also going to be talking, we got a lot of different topics that we need to discuss. We're going to be talking about who is essential employees when it comes to security. We're going to be talking about hazard pay, first responder status, as given to a number of non-emergency responders and folks that you wouldn't think would qualify. We'll be talking about your stimulus checks, unemployment benefits, workers' comp claims. We're seeing a lot of those. We'll be talking about how to clean your equipment and vehicles effectively, hazard pay for first responders, and just a whole lot more. We're also going to be talking, we're going to try and get to this topic before the end of the show. We'll be talking about medical immunity for people working on the front line in the medical field, as well as qualified immunity and what that means, who it applies to. And we're going to talk about the lawsuits and complaints against private security companies that have really begun to mount up. We have actually been talking about this for over a month and have expected to see this very thing happening as security employees are still going without PPE, being exposed to the dangers of the COVID-19 virus, and just really a lot of complaints. We've got complaints from several security officer unions saying that their contracts have been violated. We have complaints from security companies that some of their clients have breached their contract. And it's just on every hand, we've got some problems here in the security industry. And like I said, we really have been expecting this. Whenever you have a sudden urge, a sudden need, a sudden surge of security business from companies that normally would not use private security and businesses that are calling with requests for emergency coverage, a lot of times contracts are not properly done, if done at all. Many times security companies just look at the big picture, the money, and they don't really secure their information. They don't really have any type of legal documentation of the contract. We're going to be talking about this. I've experienced it in the past myself, so I kind of know how that goes. Right now, the security deaths for private security in the U.S. stands at 60 confirmed deaths. 60 confirmed deaths. Now, I've had people on social media, I've had people email our office and want to know what was the underlying reason. Did they have medical conditions? Were they 95 or 100 years old? Why do you think so many folks in this industry have died? And the sad fact is many more will die as well before this whole pandemic thing is over with. We know 100% definitively that more than 50% of the 60 security officers were over the age of 50. We know that. We also know that there were a number of older security officers that were over 70 years old. Maybe their immune system couldn't fight off the effects of the COVID-19. But nonetheless, 60 people, 60 lives have been lost. Now, just today, it was revealed to us by the New York City School Board that they lost 50 employees so far as of April 10th. April 10th, here we are today, 10 days later. So there's really no record as to how many more might have been lost during the past 10 days. During their announcement, they also said that up to a dozen New York NYPD school security agents may have died. We have knowledge of at least 8, maybe. We're trying to research with NYPD more about this. But 12 NYPD school security agents also reportedly are dead. We also know that there are at least 11 other security agents, security officers, that we've identified through public record and media news that have not been named yet. And so we haven't included them either. But we could have well into 100 currently employed security officers from retail, hospital, schools, all areas of security who have perished because of COVID-19. We are working around the clock, 7 days a week, in conjunction with many public health agencies, news providers, employers, police agencies, EMS, and others to confirm who in the security field has passed away. Now, I mentioned this last week, but sitting here day in and day out and looking at the numbers, looking at the stories, looking at how many security officers are dying literally because they just didn't have the right equipment, the right training. They were put into high-risk situations. We had one security officer who worked at a nursing home in the third shift overnight. He had no PPE, and he was not informed that several residents there had COVID-19. He obviously was infected there on the job and died last week. We're hearing a lot of these tragic stories come out, and it is honestly a disgrace that security companies and proprietary security directors would allow their staff to be working without PPE. I travel a lot, even at this time, not as much right now, but I still travel. I've seen it myself. I've seen store security officers, no PPE, no mask, no gloves, no gown, no nothing, out there in the public talking shoulder to shoulder with people. I have seen security officers that are working to patrol communities, apartments, and they're not equipped with PPE. And so, you know, in a way, really, there's no shock that so many are getting infected and dying from COVID-19. But we're going to stay on top of this, and we're going to be talking with the union that represents one of the cases there in Chicago where they're filing a breach of contract. We're going to be talking with more security companies this coming week. We're going to try and drill down and, you know, how we can get people safe and how we can prevent these deaths and illnesses from occurring. We have a lot of breaking news this week, like every week. And if you're not getting our news, go to our website at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A box is going to drop down. Just fill it out with your name and info, your email address, and you'll get free breaking news, officer down reports, and training updates, no cost. Now, I want you to know up front, this is a newsletter. News and information is coming to you. If you're expecting some fluff stories, if you're expecting some kind of generic newsletter, you're not going to get it. You're going to get the real deal, real news, real information happening right now. Go to our website, privateofficer.org. If you're not already a member, we really need your support right now. Please become a member today. 45 member benefits plus a whole lot more right there. Sign up today. You're going to be glad that you did, because you're not only going to be part of a well-balanced professional organization, but you're going to be part of a family that does really care about you, that is available to help you in many different areas. And all that you have to do is become a member and then stay in contact with us. We have a lot to offer. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, so much more to talk about. We want to talk about some of the things that we're seeing. We want to talk about hazard pay, if you qualify to be first responder status, and if so, what's the importance? We also, of course, want to talk about unemployment benefits if you do get laid off, workers' comp, and a whole lot more. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
You're on your way to meet up with friends, but you can't seem to get anywhere quickly. You don't want your friends to be annoyed, so you text. You're on your way. Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting while driving. Make sure you get where you're going.
At Armor College, a public safety institute, we train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org. ARMOUR college.org. We'll even bring the school to you. Armor College, a public safety institute.
I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17, and now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother, who's devastated, can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
New legislation has been introduced in numerous states that would provide immediate public safety officer benefits for those law enforcement officers who are active and that do become infected with COVID-19. And pass away. And the public safety officer benefits are for law enforcement, they're for firefighters, EMS, some military National Guard personnel who are called to duty, and others classified as first responders. Now, these states have come together to write their own bill to ensure that their first responders, their frontline people, are covered. There is a federal law that says line of duty deaths will be covered by the public safety benefits program, which gives the family of the officer financial aid, educational assistance if they have minor child or children, and other compensation. But many states know that even though the president has said that this will apply to every police officer now that's active, and they won't have to provide any proof that they died as part of their duties or job, that they are going to be assumed to have gotten this illness from their duty hours. But many states want to ensure that this is true, and that, you know, if it's not, that they have something else in place. Ohio, Michigan, and other states are enacting their own laws to make sure that their law enforcement officers who die with COVID-19 will, their families will receive compensation. New legislation was introduced this past Tuesday that would make COVID-19 deaths presumptuous of a line of duty injury under the National Public Safety Officer Benefit, the PSOB program, and it ensures that the first responders who are disabled or die from that disease are eligible. Now, we have seen this during 9/11. During 9/11, many police officers and public safety first responders had to fight for their benefits if they were still living, and their family had to fight if they died, because they had to prove that their cancers and their illnesses and their deaths were all part of what they breathed in and what they experienced because of the 9/11. And if you've seen the pictures after the towers fell, if you've seen the pictures of going through that debris for week after week after week to find bodies or pieces of bodies, then you know how horrific it was for any first responder there on the scene. These states who are trying to enact the new public safety benefits for them for their state, they've seen it too, and they know. But new legislation says that public safety officers don't have to be police or firefighters. They could be other people called in to assist with this horrendous pandemic that we're experiencing. So, believe it or not, we have grocery stores who have asked to be classified as first responders. We have janitorial and cleaning service employees who want to be classified as first responders. We have others working out as essential employees wanting to be classified as first responders. And therefore, should something happen to them, should they get ill, should they die from COVID-19, it would be a presumption that it was a line of duty death. And as a first responder, their families would benefit from, like I said a moment ago, educational funds, cash benefits, life insurance. As a paramedic firefighter, my department has $500,000. $500,000 for the family, for anybody on the benefit. If you are my beneficiary, then if I die in the line of duty, you would get $500,000 just from that. And so there are many different agencies who also have very large, well put together insurance policies for the family. So many people who are not really standard, normally classified as emergency first responders or first responders of any type, they want to be classified. And one group that definitely needs to be classified as first responders and should be covered for this time period under the PSOB, the Public Safety Benefit Program, are security officers. Whether they are security officers at the grocery store, at the college, at the mall, or out on patrol in apartments and condominiums and residential communities, yes, they definitely should be classified as first responders. Ohio, there the police union is still fighting for hazardous duty pay and to ensure that any officer who loses their life during this time would be presumed to be an on-duty death. What we see time and time and time again, and as I discussed just a week ago about my discussions with the Department of Justice about the Public Safety Officer Benefit Program for those private police officers who are commissioned, such as North Carolina and Virginia and Maryland and many states now. And, you know, it's up to our legislators to change the law. And just like what's happening now, we need a representative. If we don't have a union, if we don't have a guy on Capitol Hill going to bat for the private security industry, then more than likely we're not going to see any changes. We're not going to see any benefits. We're not going to see any first responder status. We're not going to see any money for the families. We're not going to be considered anything other than service workers. And unfortunately, that's what's happening now, and that's what happened during 9/11. We were here for 9/11. We worked on the project. We worked with many agencies and news agencies. And we've seen the pushback. We've heard what our supposed leaders, senators, and U.S. representatives had to say during 9/11 about private security. How can we change this? We need every one of you, not only that are listening, not only who might be members of Private Officer International, but we need every 1.6 million security officers, loss prevention agents, retail security, ORC investigators, private police. We need all of you combined to help stand up and fight for what's ours and what's yours, and for you to be included as first responders and thus receive those special funds should you become ill or die in the line of duty. The other thing that's very problematic, and I don't know how to get around this. I've argued with the largest of contract security. I've had conversations with colleges and hospitals who employ their own proprietary staff. But one of the other problems is that not only do security officers not have health insurance, there are some proprietary departments who have some health care benefits, but many don't. And many don't have life insurance. They can't afford to buy it, and their company doesn't provide it for free. So here we are. We know we have at least 60 security officers who are active. We estimate that now to be more than 80, 85 or more because of what I said about the New York school security agents and also the 11 unidentified security officers that we know about. So it's probably around 85 that have died so far. But these 85 people, probably for the majority of them, didn't have life insurance. So who's going to bury them? Who's going to be able to pay for the funeral service? Who's going to be able to pay for other things that the family needs? And who's going to support the family now that they're breadwinner, now that their loved one, now that their supporter is gone? Life insurance, that's what it does. The average person in the average field, they have life insurance policies of about $50,000. And senior management personnel in the hundreds and even sometimes millions of dollars of life insurance to cover the family, to be able to help them out when they're not there. We need to contact our legislators on the federal level, U.S. senators, U.S. state, U.S. representatives, and even state representatives and senators, and get them on the bandwagon, explain to them why it's necessary for the laws to be changed. We need to contact major security companies and employers and tell them, you know, just because they're security people doesn't mean they should be treated any worse than any other employee. A while back, I told you about Harvard University. They have a contract with Securitas, and they have had that contract for unarmed security for quite some time. And they provide building and property security. They lock and unlock doors. They make rounds. They assist the students. They're not crime fighters. They're not campus police, but they are a secondary to the security and safety of the campus. And many colleges and universities have that secondary contract level. The students of Harvard University a number of years ago saw the low pay that security officers were making and all of the hours they were putting in and all of the things they did to keep the students safe. And so they came together as a union, as a body, and they challenged Securitas. They said, this isn't fair. Either you give them a living wage with benefits. And they challenged the university, either you make this part of the contract or we're going to go and protest. And they did protest a number of years ago. And in fact, they just protested against the school and Securitas again last year after there was a problem with the renewal of the contract. But these security officers now make what they say is a living wage. They have benefits. Several other schools have done the same. So I know 100% that if we get on the bandwagon, if we start making noise, we can make changes. When we come back from this quick break, I want to talk to you about unemployment and about other ways that we can survive if we are unemployed. We'll be right back. Now remember, if you need training in the Charlotte Metro, North Carolina, or South Carolina, and you're a security officer, and you want to be certified, or you want to get recertified, or you need some type of medical first aid CPR training, our friend John over at Premier Training Academy can help you out. Call them today or check out the website, Premier Training Academy. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
Check, please.
David, you okay to drive?
Yeah, I only had a couple drinks. I'm fine.
Come on.
Keys can be a weapon. A few drinks can make you a killer.
Kroger employees, a major grocery store, one of the largest traditional grocers in the U.S. with more than 2,750 stores and over 500,000 employees, want to be recognized as first responders. Kroger said that their employees are on the front line. And many of their hourly employees, if not all, are represented by the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, UFCW. They say that they are put into a significantly high risk every day. And they're calling on their federal and state leaders to take immediate action to designate Kroger employees as first responders. Now, Kroger's traditional union, they're very, very large and powerful. And they say that their employees deserve and need to be classified as first responders. Albertsons, which is also a grocery store that owns Safeway, you may have heard of them, Jewel Osco, Vons, Pavilions, and several other stores also released a statement just several days ago saying they too want temporary designation as first responders or emergency personnel status. They say the status will give them the ability to get PPE faster and other benefits for employees who are risking their life every day. The UFCW union, which is the largest food and retail union in the U.S., represents employees across the board, and they are out contacting their legislators to get this done immediately. Who's out there cheerleading and directing and pushing for private security? Who's out there trying to navigate the waters of this legislative process for private security and explaining how dangerous it is for security officers to be out there and why it's so important to be designated a first responder or an emergency personnel? We are in a time right now, I want to clarify something. I know we're hearing a lot about, oh, we're going to reopen the state May 1. We're going to reopen the state in 2 weeks. All of the stores are going to be reopened. The beaches will be reopened. We're going to get back to work. And that's all well and good. But the COVID-19 isn't going away anytime soon. Until they actually get an antivirus, until they actually develop a way to fight this, it's going to be around for a long time, and some medical experts speculate that we could see a bigger wave in the fall when we normally see the flu wave come in to the U.S. We're not going away anytime soon. We're going to be on the front line protecting companies even after they're open. In fact, this COVID-19 has increased many security companies' service hours, bottom line, and has saved some security companies from going out of business because now they're working in the COVID-19 arena. And we're going to see security officers on the front line protecting stores and other businesses because we're still going to have space requirements. We're still going to have different requirements to maintain in order for us to keep the businesses open. And who's going to be enforcing those rules? Who's going to be on the front line? It's going to be security officers. So we need to really step up and get this going where we can be qualified and classified as first responders. Now, POI has a legislative arm to it, and we have helped change the law in a number of states. It's no easy task. It does not happen overnight. It's a long process, and really, there are some states, just to put it blunt to you, that don't care and don't want to hear about private security. They have said more than once that this is an issue for the employer, not for the state. But we still need to bend the ear of our legislators on the state and federal level because this is not going away. And if it does, it'll be something else putting our frontline security personnel out in the open, on the front line, exposed to the dangers that just won't go away. Many security officers have, unfortunately, lost their jobs. Some security companies have gone out of business. They just couldn't weather paying their employees and their overhead, their insurance, and their bills because they weren't being paid by the client. And so, unfortunately, we've had quite a few security officers lose their job. Now, if you lose your job, you can file workers' compensation. It's not really a paycheck. It's a stopgap to help you along the way until you find another job. It is important to understand that right now, more than 22 million people have filed for unemployment, even those that don't qualify, even those that haven't worked a day in their life, even those that, they choose not to work. So it may take a time for you to get your unemployment benefits. And you may have a battle. You may have to prove that you've been laid off. Earlier on, we were told by the president's office that everyone would qualify. It wouldn't be restrictive. We wouldn't have to prove that we've been laid off or the circumstances, just that we were unemployed. And I've heard from many that hasn't really occurred. They still have to, you know, prove why they're unemployed and prove that they didn't violate any policy or cause their termination. If you are a POI member, or even if you're not, and you need some information about workers' comp and what it covers and whether or not you'll qualify, email helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. The same thing for workers' compensation. We were talking about unemployment and workers' comp. But same thing with workers' comp. If you have a claim where you've become ill, we have an attorney that we've been working with in North Carolina who specializes in workers' comp and understands the law and for the states as well as federal. If you have a workers' comp question, email helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a lot more to share with you. We've got some breaking news, and we want to talk to you about how to weather through the storm. Be right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
On the weather and news front this morning, we've got severe storms that have been cooking throughout the night along the I-10 corridor, Texas, Louisiana, moving into the upstate of South Carolina and North Carolina. These are going to be similar to what we experienced during the Easter weekend just a week ago. Severe weather, including tornadoes, could have an outbreak in a number of states. Flooding, hail, strong winds and heavy rains. Be prepared. This is the time of year when we do see a lot of these storms come west to east or south to north. Be prepared. Have a weather box or an alert. Check in with your local news forecaster and stay safe. On the news front today, we've got a Texas police officer that was killed in San Marcos, Texas, actually was ambushed on Saturday. Police say that he and two other police officers were shot when they went to an apartment complex for a disturbance assault call. When they arrived, a man with a rifle opened fire, killing one unidentified police officer and injuring two others. A man in South Carolina was arrested at the SoCo library for exposing himself. Police say that they were familiar with the man when they saw his picture and was able to quickly take him into custody. A Stockton, California security officer was involved in a fatal shooting. Police say that around 7:45 p.m. Friday night on Country Club Boulevard, a security officer was attacked by a man with a knife. The security officer was able to pull his weapon and did fatally shoot the suspect. Also in Washington, D.C., a special police officer there shot and wounded a man who attempted to rob and disarm him, even though he was in full police uniform. This happened at the Friendship Court Apartments. The special police officer was able to defend himself and prevent his gun from being taken. The suspect has been identified as Roscoe Atchison, 28. He is in custody at this time. A retired police officer from Glen Cove Police in New York, John Fred Barwick, passed away from the COVID-19 virus. He was working at the North Shore University Hospital at the time as a security officer. Fox Security Company was able to apprehend three suspects in a rash of burglaries and take them into custody at gunpoint. All three have been charged with breaking into several businesses and vehicles. In Sands Point, New York, a police department sergeant, Joseph Spinoza, age 52, died also of the COVID-19 this week. The officer had been there for 19 years, and it is unknown how or where he contracted the virus. In Birmingham, Alabama, this happened a few days ago. Police were called to a deadly incident where a security officer was trying to detain a disorderly man. They got into a fight. The security officer struggled with the person, and he did pass away. Police identified the man who passed away as a 50-year-old man. An investigation is currently underway. In Jacksonville, Florida, police have arrested a third person in the murder of a security officer at the High Score Arcade. The Jacksonville police have arrested Rashonda Robertson, 21, and charged her with murder and second-degree armed robbery. Police say that a woman has been arrested in Odessa, Texas. She was trying to steal $100 worth of groceries when security went to stop her. They were assaulted by this woman, Kirsten Page Atkinson, 26, charged with robbery and possession of marijuana, a Class B felony there. An Ellis Hospital patient has been arrested for assaulting a hospital security officer and causing more than $30,000 worth of damage at the hospital. Police say that Stephen Moss, 30, of Troy, New York, has been arrested in the incident. In Chicago, security companies there say that the demand for their services has steadily increased in the last 6 weeks. For AGB Investigative Services, they say their business jumped 25%. Also, Security Officers Incorporated say that their business has jumped 31%. In Trinity County, California, deputies there were involved in a gun battle at an illegal marijuana grow. Police were serving a search warrant when they came upon gunfire. CHP also dispatched a helicopter, and a number of local other officers from other agencies responded as well. In Comanche County, Oklahoma, two men have been arrested in the shootout overnight on Friday with a security officer at another marijuana grow facility, this one legal. The Comanche County Sheriff's Department said the shooting occurred on King Road at about 4:45 p.m. when several men attempted to break into the building. The security officer and the burglars got into a gunfight, and the burglars were able to escape but soon were arrested. They also have been charged with felony burglary and aggravated assault with a weapon. A man in California has been arrested in Fremont after a college security officer saw Brian Schulman breaking into the building and stealing what else? Medical supplies and mask. Schulman has been charged with burglary, possession of stolen property, and burglary tools, but he was immediately released because the court has said no arrest unless it's absolutely necessary. So that he was released on citations, and he's been summoned back to court in July. We told you earlier that a lot of complaints are coming in against security companies, more than 23 lawsuits now filed because of either violations of OSHA laws. Some are for non-payment of the employees' paychecks, and also some are in violation of contracts. A man at the Rockledge Hospital in Rockledge, Florida, fired at police officers at the Regional Medical Center there. Police said they were called to the hospital to investigate a report of shots fired. They were able to take the man into custody. A Maryland police officer in Langley Park was suspended while he was working an off-duty security job. He TKO'd a man, knocked him out completely. The police officer, who has not been identified, was working off-duty as a security guard at a store at the time when he got into a verbal confrontation and then knocked the man out. An NYPD detective sadly has passed away. Even though he battled September 11th related cancer, he could not overcome the coronavirus and passed away on Wednesday. Robert Cardona, 41, was the 5th NYPD detective and the 30th NYPD employee to succumb to the COVID-19 virus. In Baltimore, Maryland, a man says that because he was Muslim, a security guard tasered him at a grocery store. The security officer said that he was told to remove his face covering. The shopper failed to do so and got into a confrontation. Security tased him. Police have this case under investigation and no charges have been filed. A man in a disturbance with hospital security in Waukesha, Wisconsin, on Wednesday was shot and killed by police. Upon arrival, officers located the armed man. He refused to drop the gun. Police engaged him, and the man was killed. In Denver, Colorado, the Regional Transit District Private Security Force, which is Allied Universal, will have an easier time to kick people out of the publicly owned buildings because the Transit Board has voted to allow RTD security more authority as to when to eject people off the property or arrest them. Now, many in the area say this isn't right, since many homeless people do use it as a warming station during the 6 months of winter in Denver. NYPD says they have had hundreds of cases of COVID, and thankfully, more have recently been able to recover. 1,300 officers total have recovered from the COVID-19. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a lot more to share with you, so don't go away.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info and you'll be the first, one of the first for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. privateofficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99. And we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin. If you are already a member, that's great, and we appreciate you. We'd like for you to spread the news and tell your coworkers, employees, and others in the industry about the Private Officer Group. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. If you're looking for the best in bodywear, armor, protective clothing, stab-resistant vest, and more, contact our friends at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. Are you having problems getting your stimulus checks? Have you received your stimulus checks? Have there been issues with where they were deposited or whether or not you qualified to get one? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're also asking that you send us pictures of where you might be working, what you're seeing around you. This is going to help us. We're doing a story, an expose on this, and we'd like for you to send us your input and any pictures or videos that you might have. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Police have qualified immunity. And now 6 states have medical immunity. 2 states have said they do not provide medical immunity. In New York, on April the 2nd, New York passed the Emergency Disaster Treatment Protection Act. It's a very broad immunity law that covers hospitals, nursing homes, physicians, nurses, paramedics, other health care providers. The bill not only protects health care providers for any treatment that has been given during the coronavirus pandemic, but it also provides a legal haven for any medical care given by the provider which was impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak. New York has suffered tens of thousands of deaths, thousands upon thousands, more than probably any other state in the U.S. And they have now produced a law that says it's going to be impossible to file a lawsuit against any medical provider because of a death of a loved one. Now, the new law does not bar claims for willful, reckless, or criminal negligence or misconduct or other gross negligence, but it does make clear that bad decisions stemming from staffing shortages or lack of resources cannot be considered in this category, and that it will not, the person trying to file the lawsuit will not prevail because these healthcare providers and facilities will have immunity. You can't sue them. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy on April the 14th signed a similar legislative bill that says it protects and guards healthcare professionals and facilities from civil or criminal liability in connection with the treatment of COVID-19 patients. Under the law, it shields healthcare workers and facilities who might not have had the best resources, might have lacked equipment, might not have had the best care providers, covers them. And it's retroactive to March the 9th. Medical workers cannot be held liable for patient injuries or deaths that were sustained during or due to the actions or inactions in support of the state's coronavirus public health emergency. More than 3,800 people in New Jersey has died. Not one of their family members will be able to sue any doctor, nurse, paramedic, or healthcare provider, or their facility, or their employer in the state of New Jersey. It's a very broad bill, a very broad law. In Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued an executive order March the 29th, easing regulations for healthcare providers in order to cover them on the front lines. Her order states that under the Michigan's Emergency Management Act, healthcare professionals and facilities working during COVID-19 cannot be held liable for a person's injuries or deaths. Massachusetts, again, widely approved something that was similar. It protects healthcare workers, hospitals, and other medical providers on the front line. Governor J.B. Pritzker in Illinois also issued an executive order granting civil liability immunity to healthcare providers, nurses, doctors, EMTs, paramedics, and others on the front line of the COVID-19 pandemic. And just like New York, Illinois' law protects healthcare providers even if they're not treating coronavirus patients, so long as the patient's injury or death occurred during the COVID-19 outbreak. Connecticut issued an emergency order granting immunity also to healthcare providers and facilities during the COVID-19 pandemic outbreak. You cannot sue a medical provider, a hospital, a healthcare facility, or a healthcare worker in Connecticut, even if the patient was not COVID-19 positive, as long as their death occurred during the COVID-19 outbreak, they're covered. Other states have also protected their healthcare workers and the facilities. And I completely understand why. All that you don't even have to be a paramedic, a nurse, or a doctor. You don't have to be on the front line. All you have to do is watch one episode of the evening news, the inside look at some of the hospitals in New York and California, Michigan and Louisiana. And you can see well all of the reasons why these states have quickly acted to protect their healthcare workers and providers. This is not something egregious. It's not something outrageous. It is with deep understanding what these medical providers and facilities have been up against for almost 2 months now. Police officers have long had something called qualified immunity. And what that does, it protects police officers from being sued or even arrested for their actions, even the causing of a loss of life, killing someone, as long as they follow their department's policy and training guidelines, as long as they acted reasonable and within what the law would allow. It's when they step outside of those boundaries that they get in trouble. It's when they overreact or when they use excessive force, when they don't use good common sense. That's when they get in trouble. But many police officers, even when arrested, are found not guilty after a fatal shooting because they were found to have acted within their training, within the company's guidelines and policies and protocols, and they could not, the jury could not come back any other way. In the healthcare industry, what we're seeing with states right now is that they are going above and beyond that step, saying no way that any healthcare provider or hospital can be sued or charged criminally. So it's really a step above the qualified immunity for law enforcement. But private security are citizens. And just like hospital employees who are citizens and not law enforcement and not first responders, the difference here during this time is that healthcare providers, including EMTs and those on the front line, the paramedics and the nurses, they're being recognized as first responders. They're being considered first responders, and thus their states are stepping out in front of them, putting up a wall of protection around them. But security officers, who's doing that for them? We have three major security associations in the U.S. Private officer, the IFPO, and as is. We have some state associations, small membership, but they still exist. Who is speaking up for the private security industry? If you're not willing to stand up, stand out, and speak up, change will not come. These hospitals, these emergency responders, these law enforcement agencies, they've taken a stand. And they said, look, we're doing the best we can with what we have. And you shouldn't punish us if somebody dies. We shouldn't be sued. We shouldn't be held accountable under these circumstances. And so the states have agreed with them, and they have stood up alongside these first responders, these medical providers, these medical facilities. I'm asking you today to step up, step out, have your voice heard. All of these nonsense comments that we see every day on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media from security people who I don't believe should be in the job. They don't want to be there. But we need to take action. And if you're a security company owner, a manager, a supervisor, you need to stand up too. You need to start the conversation. And if you don't know how, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And we'll get that conversation started with you. If you're listening today to this program, please tell your friends about POI. Tell them we're in their corner and help them to get together with us so that we can make some changes right away. We want you to be safe. We want you to understand your rights. And in closing today, I want to make perfectly clear that I understand you need your hourly job. I understand you need your paycheck. But if your employer is not giving you the basic PPE, gloves, and face mask, if they're not protecting you, if they're putting you in situations where you could get infected or even die from the COVID-19, you have a right to contact your state OSHA office, your federal OSHA office, because both state and federal law mandate that employees are protected from the environment they work in, that employers must issue the right PPE for the environment that they're in. They don't have the right to tell you to buy your own if you want it. They don't have the right to tell you you can't wear it. Position. Contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.